Are you familiar with the pre-Sunday gap? Well, if you're a leader in ministry, you really should be. Today we talk with Kenny Jong about how you can lower the barrier for people who might be interested in attending your church. Next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
The Church Solutions Podcast. My name is Phil Thompson.
And I'm Steve Lacy.
Steve, we have a guest today, but before we get to that, this is episode number 504. And, you know, it's interesting. We were talking with Dan Wallace from Epiphan Video the other day. We actually interviewed him. And he asked us a question that I was kind of taken back of. He said, "Wow," he goes, "you guys got over 500 podcasts. What was this question? How have you guys done that?" Or something like that.
We just never gave up. Yeah.
We just keep going. I mean, it's just, we're routine people, you know? I mean, we actually have more than 500, but we started to count at one point a number of years ago. But anyhow, I thought that was kind of interesting that he thought that was quite an accomplishment. So there you go. All right. And I won't ask you how you're doing, Steve, because you're never transparent with people. You never tell people what's really going on in your life. You just say, "I'm fine." So there you have it. So we're working on that. I think God's brought me into your life for a reason. All right. So our next guest, he's silent. Did you mute your microphone? He's silent. Our next guest is not silent. He's actually the CEO of Ministry Link and the editor-in-chief of Church Tech Today. He's a Story Brand certified guide with an MBA from Columbia and a master's in divinity from Princeton. You know, Princeton is an Ivy League school. Did you know that, Steve? They have a pretty decent
Columbia
basketball.
Columbia has the same kind of pedigree. So
oh, I guess it
very
does.
Pedigree guy.
Which one has a better basketball team?
My undergrad is from Duke, which is another. It's a basketball pedigree, NCAA pedigree.
Yes.
All right. Well, there you go. Arizona's number one right now until they play Houston next week. All right. So this guy. We've had this guy on before, and he's one of my favorite. But he's really an expert when it comes to digital strategy for marketing. He's got a real heart for ministry. And he's a leading expert now with using AI and digital tools, helping churches reach their communities more effectively. So, happy birthday to our next guest, Kenny Jong.
Yes.
Happy birthday,
thank you,
Kenny. How old are you?
Thank you. You know, I don't even know. I have to take out a calculator. Every time people ask me that, it's like, after a while, I just know, like, I'm going to die soon. I'm closer to death than birth. And so it's just one of those things.
Yeah. See, you're not being vulnerable either with anybody. All right. I'm fine.
I used to give my mom the hardest time. I'm like, "What do you mean you don't know what birthday it is?" I mean, I have been I was all of like 18 because there was like major milestones. She's like, "Let me think about it."
I knew it was Kenny's birthday.
Now I'm there.
I follow Kenny. I follow Kenny on Facebook, so I knew it was his birthday.
Yes, the obligatory Facebook birthday.
It's the only reason I'm on it. So Kenny, as you know how this goes. We've had you on many times, and Steve and I will ask you questions. So I'm going to kick things off here. I'm going to kick the ball off by asking you a question. You have said in the past that churches are missing the pre-Sunday window. Why is that gap so critical? First of all, what is a pre-Sunday window, and why should I care as a pastor?
I think I've said a lot of things, but one of the things I will say is that let's just take your church website. I think your church website mostly, if we went and Googled any church in any given city today, for the most part, is a bait and switch experience. Let's just start off with that type of statement here. That's the soundbite for the episode. And let me explain. Most people who are spiritually curious, and we know from Barna and Pew Research and all these things that we now have a lot more spiritually curious people in the younger generations, as you go down from millennials, Gen Z, even Gen Alpha, we are seeing a rise in church attendance, more in the younger generations than the older generations at this point. And the digitally native generations, what do? They do not wait to go to a physical building on a Sunday and then ask their questions about life and significance and all these things. What they do is they pick up their device and they start asking those questions. And somehow they might land on your church website, or they may not, because your church website doesn't meet them where they are. For the most part, church websites do not have deep, sophisticated content that really meets any given query that you might have in Google or Perplexity or wherever you're searching these days. And so I think that this is a huge missed opportunity, that we are now just, you know, it's almost like my rant the other day was saying that your website is basically stealing the model from the timeshare industry, Phil. Basically, it's like, hey, you want the answer to this? You want this great benefit? Great. I'm not going to answer it to you here. You got to come to this building. I'll give you this address at 9 a.m. on Sunday, and then we'll actually give you the big prize. And guess what? Once you get there, what happens? We get you, seat you, lock the doors, turn off the lights, and make you listen to a 90-minute presentation, and you might get a gift bag on the way out. And that just doesn't and do it in a
You don't get a bottle of wine. You don't get a bottle of champagne like you would for the timeshare.
maybe a little bit different. But, I mean, so the point is that we are not serving our audiences where they are. And that is right there in the moment. And when we are actually in a world where Amazon is going from two-day delivery to one-day delivery to same-day delivery to one-hour delivery in some cities now, that instant gratification expectations is not – it's not quenched with, hey, wait 6 or 7 days, come to the building, and you might meet the pastor. You might, right? So I think the church needs to figure out, how do we actually meet the needs? And this is where written content, social content, live streaming, we need to figure out how to actually serve our audiences, which is spiritually curious neighbors online. And how do we actually figure out how to become relevant to them? How do we get them curious? How do we get them captivated? That way, by the time you actually get them into the building or into a conversation, they actually are leaning forward in a posture instead of a, you know, folded arms, what can you do me posture. I think there's a big opportunity for us to respect the medium of the internet. And how do we actually serve them in ways where, in every other aspect of life, we're doing live streaming shopping. We're doing live streaming education. We're doing live streaming healthcare. We're doing live, right? Like, that's just one way that the church is missing out on this huge opportunity.
Okay. You used the bait and switch, and we had a guest just a couple of episodes ago, and he used the same terminology, but he had a different explanation. But I mean, yours. I see where you're getting at. You're poking at the, you know, the missing kind of front door to the church.
Yes.
He was up tirade over, they find your church website and you've got all these beautiful people and all these wonderful things. And then they show up and it's nothing like the website. So he was saying, use authentic pictures, use pictures of your people, you know, make it look so.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, I think what are you seeing in life? The TikTokification of the algorithms, right? Our social medias, all these platforms have changed, where it's no longer a social network, where it's not based on who you're connected to, who you follow. TikTok, the big thing that TikTok has changed and across the entire landscape is the meritocracy of your content. And that is now relationship driven. And so you and I, whether you have one follower or a million followers, if you put out a piece of content that connects with people and that serves people, you know, in radically valuable pieces of content, the algorithm will actually give you the reach and exposure, right? And if you look at TikTok, the ones that are successful are the ones that are raw. It's not the polished ones. It's the ones that, like, you would be surprised, you know, if you're a millennial, Gen X, et cetera, you are surprised. Why are these people that are, like, literally in bed or in the, you know, like, they're just putting on their makeup? Like, we would never have done that 10 years ago, right? Put our best foot forward. You know, it's got to brush your teeth, brush your hair, make sure your tie is on and all that kind of stuff. And today, I think it's the other way around. So I think that gets at what you're saying, Steve, is like, if you're actually transparent and show the staff, the volunteers, your attendees, and have an authentic representation of what does this community look like so that people feel, I think one of the key things that would work for churches is to put on display things that trigger a thought in a prospective visitor's mind that says, those people look like me. They have similar life stages. They have similar felt needs. They're going through the similar things as me, and they're just trying to find the answers together. And so this is where I think the opportunity lies for people to actually use video to really, as a content format, to really connect, engage, and attract new visitors to the church.
All right, I want to talk. You're talking about this, and you created a thing called Front Door. And I know this is part of what you're talking about. So I want to promote Front Door here because it's something you're doing. And this is what you're talking about. So what is Front Door? And that's part of what you've just gone through with us, right? What is Front Door?
Yeah. So Front Door is I think, getting at that, the pet peeve that I just started with the websites is that, like, how do you actually serve the people where they are? And so we built a resource. It's at frontdoor.church. And at the website, if you sign up, we've gotten, we looked at the Harvard study of human flourishing, and there's five dimensions. And then what we started to do is we started to write felt need driven resources that are radically helpful for someone that might be going through any of those things, where it's a life stage or a felt need. And we basically created these downloadable resources that are completely unbranded, that's helpful for any typical person in any zip code, that churches can then immediately use as their own, publish it on their website, offer it to be downloaded, and then there's like an email sequence that you can start to nurture them and introduce yourself for each of them. So we have, I think, over 60 of them, and the library keeps growing. And the idea is the website is the new front door. Don't wait for them to actually come into your building to introduce yourself and actually be useful. Use the website as the front door to address the felt needs that they have. So one of the popular resources is the five conversations you need to have with your kids every day. Or another one is how to fight fairly about finances with your spouse, right? And so these are things that I think are low pressure, non-invasive, but super helpful. And some of them are universal topics for people that are in your neighborhood, where a biblical perspective, right, a biblical worldview of how to address those needs is something that's going to be radically helpful. And hopefully it'll trigger the ideas like, what else do you got, right? Like, what else do you have for me? And have that curiosity of what this church has to offer.
So as you were talking earlier, I've got a real life testimony to what you were saying with my wife as an example. She is kind of a fitness guru and has a following on social media, Instagram primarily. So she's got a bunch of people on there, but she just had a post that went, she told me this morning, because I'm at 2.2 million. And it was just exactly what you were saying. It wasn't the all dolled up makeup thing. She did a thing on crepey skin when you get older, and had just showed that she's got a little crepey skin, even though she looks great. But it went berserk. She's like, why is this post going crazy when all my other posts, you know, they do good, but they don't do, you know, they're not doing over 2 million views. Yes. So anyway, I was just really resonating with what you were saying about the authenticity piece of this thing. So back to the front door. So let me make sure I understand the model correctly. So the churches can use some of that content, and they would put that on their website so that when, you know, my son is querying, how do I argue fairly about finances with my wife, or I'm having a real challenge with that, church's content website will show up and go, oh, these guys might have some. Is that the model?
Yeah, I think the other thing, take them to that site. Yeah, if you are a church communicator listening, if you're dabbling at all in paid advertising to drive traffic, you know that over the last 5-10 years, all the platforms have slowly or quickly removed the variables of religious targeting. So you can't explicitly search for and target people that are interested in the Bible or Jesus or Christianity or even influential figures that are attached to it. It's like Rick Warren. You used to be able to target people who are interested in purpose-driven life, right? So if you're somebody who hasn't gone to church and you picked up this book, what's the purpose of life? Because Rick Warren has that book. You could target those people that are in your zip code. You can't do that anymore. And so the other thing is, how do you actually get to them now? And felt needs that are adjacent or where biblical worldview solutions would be actually radically helpful for them is a strategy that is very effective in doing that. Now, it is a little bit further down the line, or top of the funnel, as we call it, if you're a marketing nerd, right? It's not immediately where they're trying to find a church that day. But mm-hmm. I think in today's world, and this is where video especially and all these form factors really help, is helpful, is that your objective in church marketing today is to get someone to a coffee, not to the church, right? That should be the objective. How do you engage them in conversation versus how do you get them to get into the seat of listening to a sermon, which may not be anywhat related to what they need or are going through today, right? Your sermon series today is something based on your own, your calendar of content, not responsive to what any unique individual is going through at that moment. And so this is where the long tail of content, your site now has the ability to publish tons of stuff that will throw more hooks in the water and then get them to a conversation, whether it's a pastor, staff, or volunteers that are able to then engage with those types of incoming queries, I think is the new frontier. That's the new front door.
All right. I would assume that, I mean, as you're talking here, I'm thinking church blog would be a much more important thing going after this model, so that I would have, and if I'm writing the blog, I'm not repeating my sermon for the week, but I'm, kind of delving deeper into life and having that sort of thing. I don't know. That's kind of something that triggered with me. I would think that the importance of a blog with the church would be important as we move into this model. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely.
There?
I think the other thing to talk about blogs, right? Blogs are back because SEO is something you always want to go after, but they have different words. AEO, LLMEO, right? The chat bots are the things that people are actually now looking for answers, and you want to show up in, whether it's even the Google AI overviews at the top, or in ChatGPT, or in Perplexity. These are the places you now want to actually show up. And in order to do that, is they need to ingest more content that's specific that can then refer people to the links for you, right? And so strategically, blogs, they contribute to organic search visibility, and there's all these inbound links. There's all this stuff that traditionally is helpful, but blogs are not dying because of the AI stuff as well. They continue to scale, with not just your own readership on your site, but also referring properties out there, including the AI chatbots.
I have a friend who he's a podcaster. And he has a deal set up on his website where he uses AI. He's got AI configured so that if you have a question about a topic and it's a specific area that he's in, you can type that question in and it will show you the blog post. Or not the blog, I'm sorry, the podcast. It'll actually say here, this what you were talking about was addressed in episode number 958 or whatever. He's only done 250. Yes. But so I thought that was really cool because now you can go right to the podcast that issue or that question you had was addressed in the actual podcast. That was pretty cool.
I mean, there are many tools like that coming on the market. There's church-specific ones. Tapos.app is one of them where you can ingest all your sermons and other content, and then it'll give the answer plus references and links to where to go. You can do that with your YouTube channel. There are many tools out there now to be able to have those recommendation engines.
Yeah. My, it's kind of, you brought up a point that's also close to home as well. I've got a son that has a side business, and for many years he has been pumping $200 into Google every day, and it was giving him an ROI. And, you know, it was where he could, he would get customers for his business out of that. And I just recently asked him, I go, "Are you still doing the same level of budget?" And he goes, "No." And I go, "Why not?" And he goes, "Because now, rather than listing, you know, his sites or the paid advertising sites, people read the Gemini response." Yeah. And it just kind of killed his prior model. So that, you know, so what you're saying here, that that we're evolving as far as how your church is reached online. It used to be a certain way where there, you type something into Google, Tucson churches near me in Tucson. And that whole model is kind of changed.
I think you need to embrace all the strategies today, right? You can't just delete one for the other. But you're right. I think things are shifting. I think there is a big issue that Google and all these search engines have is that they want people to stay on their property, but their business model is based on advertising that pays them for traffic off of their property. And so they need to mitigate that. And I think another thing that you're seeing is commerce, shopping commerce. So ChatGPT now is opening up an app store. Perplexity is opening up shopping. So like if you go to Perplexity is a great AI search engine, basically. They're trying to do both. And so they've added options where you can actually do topical searches to be even more focused, where travel and shopping is an option. And now they're showing up these cards as on the search results where they are linked directly to e-commerce, right? And so e-commerce is coming to all of these AI chatbots as well. It's only inevitable, right?
So front door, sorry, we step on each other. I want to ask a question about follow-up with front door. So what's the follow-up process if people are using front door? And we're talking an email sequence here.
Yeah, I mean, I think email is still the killer app at the end of the day. It is the highest ROI. If you look at any, you know, even e-commerce business case studies, et cetera, out there, that is the property that the business phrase is the money is in the list. The value is in your list building. And everyone that has any success on the internet knows that you want to build your email list. The best time to build your email list was whenever you started, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. The next best time is today. Get started with building your email list. And so that's what Front Door helps with, right? You'll offer these resources, like, you know, 15 things happily married couples can do together, right? All these types of things. Am I emotionally healthy? 5 things to consider. You are going to offer these things based on the topic that they download the resource. You know what they're interested in. And so now you got their contact information and you know a little bit more about them, what they're actually trying to figure out in their life about, right? Like finding purpose in your singleness. So then you know they're single, they don't have family. And so then you can send them an email sequence. So in the system, there's a couple of pre-written ones, but you can edit them. You can add your own email sequence to them. And that's where hopefully you will eventually nurture them into a relationship where they're curious and they're captivated. And then you hopefully get them to a point where they're conversive. And there would be some call to action, right? To join our live stream. Our local church has once a month a pizza with the pastors. Imagine if you had a live stream periodically, once a month, even once a week, like an office hours where you can come meet the staff or the pastor, right? Even before you come to Sunday, what if you actually just had a really low pressure situation where you can hop on to a group call and just learn more about the pastor, the family, the background, learn about the community, etc. And so that's the part where can you get them to a coffee or a conversation instead of just trying to get them to the church building?
Yeah. And is this, going back to the email thing, is this automated? Because if I'm a pastor listening to this Church Solutions podcast, I'm thinking, oh, I got all these things I got to do. So is the email stuff automated with the option to edit, you know, that you just mentioned?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So basically, if you get a frontdoor.church account, You go in, you choose one of the 60-something resources, and then it asks you, do you want to embed it on a page? Do you want to have your own landing page? You know, we can, the software creates its own page by itself, or you can put it on any website. So whether you have Squarespace or WordPress or any other platform out there, you can embed different versions of it on any given page. And then once someone fills out that form, they automatically get that thing emailed to them. And then there's a couple of emails that automatically get sent out on your behalf. And that's where there's a couple of emails that are pre-written based on any given resource that we have. We call them connection resources. And then if you wanted to modify them, add them, delete them, or if you want to upload your own resource and create your own email sequence in there, you can do that as well. And this is all set and forget it. But ideally, one or two of those emails at least would have a call to action in there to say, hey, text me anytime, or let me pray for you, or, you know, give some calls to action that say, I want to get you into a conversation.
So Phil may need to keep me from getting too nerded out here, but so if I've got, I'll take my home church, alivechurch.com. If I wanted to sign up for this, I'd pick a category and I'd either embed that content on my website if I'm following you. And then someone in my neighborhood is searching for how to win the finance fight with your wife or whatever it may be. They're going to end up on my church website that has that content on it.
Yeah.
So, okay. And so because the tools so like out
your
there,
kids, your kids ministry section of your website, whether it's a blog post or even just your, you know, that section page might feature a resource that says something like teaching your kids about money. Right. Mm-hmm. So that might be in your youth pages, et cetera. And so you would have appropriate resources mapped to different pages, or you can create a brand new page. Or one suggestion we always have is this is a great way to write really easy, valuable resources with tips and then feature it on a blog post or a separate page and then offer the download link. And so that's where people will then not just visit your website and leave, right? They would actually visit your website, and there's an excuse. Instead of what do most church websites have right now? They're just like, sign up for a newsletter so we can spam you, right? It's just sign up for a generic newsletter. Sign up. It's the same thing as the connection card. A lot of churches have trouble when people visit. They're like, open up our visitor card and on your phone and fill it out, right? The connection card. Why should I do that? Because I know that the only reason you're going to do that is to spam me. The reason why people have low compliance with filling out that visitor card is because you're not giving them a reason. You're not actually serving them. There's no reciprocity in that proposal. And so when you're clear about that and when you can actually lead with generosity, then the reciprocity happens. And so this is where you're actually taking that first step in that relationship with someone and saying, let me share with you first how to let go of the anger that you might have. Let me just share with you this little basic devotional. It's a little sound bites that you can actually go through and hopefully will help you of letting go of the anger that you might have in your life. Here's a resource. And so someone who's struggling with that understands that everything that they've tried hasn't worked. And so they might try something different. This church thing might be different. And so there's a resource that they can download. It's low pressure. It's asynchronous. I don't need to talk to a pastor or go through counseling. And let me just see what it is. Download that resource. And then you have their contact information. And now you can start to send them more resources, maybe a sermon that you might have preached on that topic. There might be support groups for whatever it might be. So there's these, it's basically a conversation, right? It's a relationship development tool that mimics how you actually would do it in real life.
Yeah. So they're, I guess they're going to get some summary information and then they got to put their email in order to get the full story. Is that kind of from the visitor to the website?
So for example, I was in my small group last night and someone at the end one of the prayer requests was just finding meaning at work. He was like, I go to work every day and I'm trying to align my faith and my actual work stuff. And I just don't feel like there's some disconnect sometimes. And so there's actually a resource that we have called Finding Meaning at Work. We spend so much time getting work done, but how do we make sure that we're continuing to find our purpose in it and our joy in what we do? You know, but you also want, don't want to tie our identity just to our work, right? And so there's a resource that you can download and read. This would be something perfect for someone. If someone's a new visitor or someone that's a friend, you can refer to them, right? If he was my friend that I met at Starbucks, I can say, you know what? On our church's website, there's actually a good resource. You might want to download that and read it. It's a very easy read. It takes like 5-10 minutes. But then once you download that, I'll send you the link. And then we can have a coffee afterwards and talk about it. And so in that resource, we actually have some questions to contemplate, right? Some open prompts to help them consider. How do you find the meaning in the work? You know, why certain mindsets really matter? There's some biblical worldview stuff in there. Setting the goals. You know, you want to break the monotony. You want to actually build some milestones to have progress. And so it's actually helpful. It's hopefully productive for them. And the idea is that once you serve them, then they will say, what else do you have, right? It's kind of like a Costco sample, but from Jesus.
I like that example.
All right, so we're going to need to wrap this up. Steve, did you have any more? Those weren't nerdy questions. Those are very practical questions you asked.
I restrained myself because I was going to get into.
But Steve, I think your questions are very common and normal, largely because in the church communication space, most churches and pastors are not thinking this way. They're thinking of the website as a bulletin board or just a directional sign. They're not thinking of it as an actual third space to meet someone where they are and to start the conversation there. And so this is where, again, I think this is, it seems intuitive and simple once you start to get into this world, but treating your website as the new front door is both, it's fun, it's inspirational, it's revolutionary once you start to really understand the power of meeting people where they are, and that is on their devices once they get to your website.
All right. So I have a question for you, Kenny, but before I ask the question, where do people go to learn more about this?
Sure. It's pretty easy. It's www.frontdoor.church. If you go to the website there, you'll get all the information. There's there's examples. There's a demo website. There's all this stuff that you can see what it looks like. It's the best way to get started.
All right. So there's numbers. We mentioned this at the beginning of the podcast. You mentioned it. Younger people seem to be showing up at church more so than they have been.
Yes.
Now, I unlike you guys, I'll tell you I'm old, okay? And I'm vulnerable. I'm just going to be completely honest with people. I'm going to be 68. So I was part of the Jesus movement, the tail end of it in the 70s. So I've seen kind of these things. But, Kenny, you've been around the block a few times. Why do you think younger people are suddenly – maybe not suddenly, but why are people starting – why is there an increase in number of people showing up at churches now? What's your thoughts? Why?
Yeah, I was just talking about some young people. I think they are really becoming a little bit more self-aware of the almost like instability of culture and society today. There's a lot more fractionalization happening. Technology, AI, the pace of innovation is increasing, right? We talk about the velocity of innovation today. And that all drives toward, I think, a hunger for meaning and actually hope, right? And so we know that this big grand experiment we called social media probably was not good for humanity. It generated a lot more FOMO than we wanted to. And then this AI experiment, if we don't have more Christians and conversations from a biblical worldview, I think it's contributing to the next word of the day. If Sesame Street had a word of the day, it would be not FOMO. The new word of the day is FOLO, fear of looming obsolescence. And so this hunger for meaning and hope is real. You have anxiety and depression, and you're seeing the news, instantaneous global news and TikTokification, everything. It brings the disasters and cultural chaos much closer to you than you think. And so people want a belonging, and they want community. And that's where I think the loneliness of what the algorithms have produced loneliness, and that has driven spiritual curiosity. People want, especially the younger people, want to be in places that they can be seen, they can be known, and they can be supported in their own personhood. And the only outlet in the public square is the church. And that's our hope, right? Is that our institutions, our ministries, can we offer genuine relationships? Can we offer mentoring? Can we offer these communities so that we take advantage of the attendance that's rising among these young adults?
Yeah. I've always said it, and relationships are the key. They're the key to life, the key to everything. Key to Christianity is relationships. And I think the front door, what you're talking about here with the front door, is a way, again, to help hopefully connect with some people and start creating some relationships. Yeah. That's what it seems like to me.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Steve, last word?
It's just kind of funny. You trigger these things. At our church, we have a little pre-service with all the volunteer kind of thing. And they talk about people coming to the church, and they said they need to be noticed, known, and loved.
Yes.
So it's just right in line with what you're talking about. So yes. I've been hearing that for six months or so at our church. So known, noticed, known, and loved.
So. All right. So Kenny Jong has been our guest again, one of my favorite guests for the Church Solutions podcast. And you can go to frontdoor.church. I got that right. Am I?
Yep.
They're right on that.
Frontdoor.church. Okay. And again, I think this is one of the things where, whether or not you use this tool, this is a great conversation to have with your internal teams and staff. Not just our website, where else, what surface area of our church and ministry can we actually surface the felt needs and help drive more conversations and not worry so much on the immediate conversion in our communities?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right on that. Okay, good deal. All right, so if you have any questions for Kenny, you can go there, I guess. There's probably a way to people, you can reach out to Kenny on that website. Or you can always reach out to us at streamingchurch.tv. That's one of our products. And if we can help you with anything, please let us know. If you haven't subscribed to the Church Solutions podcast, we'll do so and give us a rating. We'd love to hear from you and get some feedback. So Kenny, hang around here for a moment, but I'm going to wish everybody a good day. Thanks for being a part of our Church Solutions podcast today. Thanks for listening or watching whatever platform you're on. Please take care of yourself and each other, and we will catch you again on another episode. So.